that God would send us out. The Orchard Church, a world mission center. I believe that God wants us to be on mission with Him. I believe it's so vitally important that God wants us to be on mission around the world. There's been a couple of churches that's had a profound impact on my life dealing with missions, and I guess one of the first ones would be First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia. When I became pastor of United Missionary Church down in Southern Illinois back in 1985, in January of 1985, one of the first things that I did, and I'd already had it scheduled before I went there, was to be part of a Timothy Barnabas conference that First Baptist Church had put on. It was their first conference, and it was in Asheville, North Carolina, and it was just a great conference to go to. But one of the things that God did while I was there is He helped give me a focus and a passion to believe that God's able to do anything, anywhere. When Johnny Hunt went to be pastor of First Baptist Church of Woodstock, their church had just fired their pastor and had fired all their staff, and there wasn't anybody left on that church staff and on that church team. And when they called Pastor Johnny, the church had declined to the point that it was running about 170. You say, well, that's a lot of people. Not when it's got a building that seats about 2,000. 170 is not very many. But God got a hold of Pastor Johnny, and God began to work in his life and began to cast the vision of missions, began to cast the vision of the church coming together and being on mission around the world. And at the time when we went to that conference in 1995, there in Asheville, North Carolina, the sun never set on the ministry of First Baptist Woodstock. Not only in that first 10 years of the ministry there did they fill that building up, they relocated, bought property, and built a building down the road. But they have missionaries now on every continent. And the sun never sets on the ministry of First Baptist Church of Woodstock. It is a mission. Last year they sent over 60 mission teams out from their church. They have missionaries from their church that they support around the world. And it's been part of, you say, well, what did it have to do with you? Well, it had a lot to do with me, because I saw what God could do with a group of people who came together around a purpose of coming together. We're talking about experiencing God together, how that God has put us and He's placed us and He's fashioned us to be on mission with Him. And I believe that the Orchard Church, God wants it to be a world mission center. I believe God wants to take those who are here today and those who was here last night and those who has yet to come. And I believe that God wants to fashion us and shape us and allow us to be on mission with Him. I believe that all things are possible through my God. I don't believe that there's anything that's too difficult for Him. And I know that if God can take a little church in Southern Illinois that is in the sticks and use them, that God can take those who are here today and use us. I was thinking last night after I got through with the message, and I was driving back last night, I got to thinking about some of the neat things. I said there was two churches that had a profound impact. Probably the second, there's probably more than that. But, you know, after I left Samaria, at Samaria we gave 47% of our offerings to missions. 47% of everything that came into our church went back out to minister to people around the world. And that was exciting to be part of that. But then God sent me to another church. He sent me down to United Missionary, and that church was fractured. It was splintered, and they had about 70 people left, and half of them was ready to leave. And God sent me to that conference early on. And what we did is we began to focus. And God said, you need to get the focus back on me and on missions. And one of the first things that we did is we planned a mission trip to South Dakota. And that was what ignited. That is what ignited and turned things around at that church. It's the body of Christ and making it a celebration. It was exciting to be part of that. And when we began, you know, there was a theme and a desire, because God has shown me a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 in verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Listen to what the Word of God says. Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That passage of Scripture is one of my favorite in all the Word of God. It says to us here, now unto him who is able, more than able to do above that you ask or think. And one of the translations that it says, above and beyond all that you ask or imagine. And again, I have a vivid imagination. I have an imagination that goes wild sometimes. And I want you to know my God is already beyond that. He said he's above and beyond what you ask or even imagine. I want to go back and talk about kind of what we looked at last week. Last week we talked about Acts 1:8 and how that God worked and he empowered him. We talked about a spiritually empowered church. Again, bringing things together. We cannot and will not be what God wants us to be until we are a spirit-empowered church. That the Spirit of God permeates our lives. He lives in us. He fills us. He dwells there and he guides every step on our way. The church at Jerusalem was a world mission center. The church at Jerusalem was a world mission center. What God did through that church when Jesus died on the cross and then he rose again the third day, he appeared to his disciples and he told them to wait in Jerusalem and you're going to be endued with power. And they stayed there. They stayed in Jerusalem and I don't know about you, but I like to be out there in actions and moving, but God said, you wait here. And they did exactly what God told them to do. They waited until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, we have a record of that in Acts chapter 2. But that church had a huge impact on the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, it's impacting us even today. If that church had not had an impact with the Spirit of God, you and I probably wouldn't be here. But the Spirit of God impacted them in such a way that they impacted the rest of the world. The church at Jerusalem, Pentecost, had an impact on the Jerusalem church. They said, wait till Pentecost, wait till the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And isn't it amazing how God works? Some people say, well, it's just kind of an accident that there would happen to be on the Feast of Pentecost when there's people there from all around the world in Jerusalem. There was people there from all the known world at that time to come and worship in Jerusalem. I want you to know it was no accident that God had planned that. It was in the foreknowledge of God that he planned that on the day of Pentecost that his Spirit would come in the fullness. We know that there was people there from every tribe and every language because it says everybody heard in their own language. There was a multitude of languages that was spoken there that day. And the Bible says that everybody heard the message in their own language. Now that's amazing to me. Isn't it amazing to you? That one guy would preach in Greek and that somebody in Italian or somebody from Africa would understand. That's exactly what took place. That's exactly what took place there that day. Because when God began to move, there was people there and they spoke the languages, but everybody heard the message. God's message is still important. Does God still doing that today? Is God still speaking in that? Can God still do that today? Absolutely he can. And absolutely, he still does. I was in missions class one time, and my instructor in missions was from a missionary in Venezuela. And there was a guy from Tennessee who did not speak Spanish. And he talked in his Tennessean dialect, really slow. And he was there, and he got separated from his translator. And so, but he had such a passion to share Christ that he sees this guy on the street and he begins to tell him about Jesus. And when the translator finally caught up with this Tennessean, he begins to talk to the person in Spanish, and the guy said, "Stop." I understood every word he said. He said he spoke the most fluent Spanish that I've ever heard. Folks, my God is the one who confounded the language at the Tower of Babel. And if he confounded the language, he can certainly reverse it any time that he wants to. But that church at Jerusalem there had a world impact. God wants to use our church as a world-impacting center, as an on-mission strategy point. God wants to use us. He used them. On the day of Pentecost, the gospel was preached, and 3,000 people were saved that day. 3,000 people, maybe even more than that, but we know that 3,000 people were baptized that day. Now that is some church growth. That is phenomenal. And I believe that there was people there from all different areas that came to know Christ. That means when God started his church there in Jerusalem that day, that he only, not only did he do it there, but he had scattered them already. He'd already scattered them. And so that when they went out from Jerusalem, they would go back to their areas and they'd preach Christ. And I was thinking about what God could do with us. And this week, as I was thinking and wrestling with this message, I got to thinking, when does God bring people to Traverse City? There's a lot of people come to Traverse City in the summertime. And some of them come in the wintertime. And some of us really be go somewhere else right now for a little while. But you know, God brings people. God brings people to us in the summertime in mass. One of the greatest things that comes to Traverse City is the National Cherry Festival. God brings people to Traverse City, and most of the natives I found stay home or go someplace else because of the traffic. I mean, you want to avoid being downtown. You want to avoid the traffic here in Traverse City during that time. But what an opportunity. What an opportunity. And I've heard, you know, and during festivals and stuff, well, those people who come and be part of and maybe get saved during that time may not live around here. Praise God. What if we go up and do something and whatever God would lead us to do, whenever God would show us where he's working at in the National Cherry Festival, and we plug in that area and people get saved. What if somebody gets saved from Saginaw? What if somebody gets saved from Niles? Or what if somebody gets saved from another state? Man, we can hook them up and we can plug them in where they are. You see, God wants to do something great. And it's not just about building us. It's about building his kingdom. I believe that God, when God brings people to you, he wants to do a great work. He wants to do an awesome work. And so that's one of the times that God brings people to us. And we need to be like that church in Jerusalem, be filled with the Spirit of God and be together and move out and reach those that God brings to our area. And that church at Jerusalem had a tremendous impact on all Judea. The Judean hills were never the same after the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, the Judean hills were totally transformed. That area had now heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel spread rapidly. If you look in the book of Acts, you'll find how rapidly the gospel spread in Judea. It happens the way God says it happens. It happened in Jerusalem, and now it went and spread throughout the whole countryside. And I love that scripture. It emphasized in every translation, all Judea, not just part of it. You see, God wants to do something great all around our world, in our area, in Northwest Michigan. Coming up in the month of April, we're going to have Missions Month. We're going to take Acts 1:8 and we're going to break it down to our Jerusalem, and we're going to have people who are working in local missions here. Because folks, if you're going to Africa or if you're going to Thailand or some other place around the world sharing the gospel, but you're not doing it at home, you're missing the boat. I said when United Missionary, one of the greatest things that we did was went to South Dakota. But we didn't stop at South Dakota. When we got back home, we did a backdoor mission trip. That means we went to a community right in our area and did the same things in our area that we did in South Dakota. Because it's important to go. On the second week of April, we're going to have a person who's working in our state planting a new church down in Grand Rapids. Our association sponsors him and partners with him. And he's from Ghana, Africa. His name is Francis Darko. And I know you'll enjoy hearing Francis. The third week, we're going to have somebody from the North American Mission Board. And the fourth week, and to the ends of the earth, we've got a missionary who just got back off the field in China, who's been a missionary in China the last few years, who's going to come and share about his experiences in China. And so that's coming up, but because God works, he goes through all Judea. And that Judean church had an impact on Samaria. Samaria were people that most Jews didn't want to have anything to do with. They were called half-breeds. They were half Jewish and half Gentile. The Gentiles really didn't want to have anything to do with them, and the Jews didn't really want to have anything to do with them. But when they were transformed, when all Judea was transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they didn't have any prejudice. They went out and they ministered to the Samaritans. And God used them to minister to that group of people, and many of the people of Samaria came to know Christ. As a matter of fact, one of the great evangelists of that day, Philip, was there in Samaria preaching, and there was a great revival going on. And in the midst of a great revival, God sent Philip down to Africa. Said, Philip, you need to go. And Philip went down to Africa and preached the gospel to a eunuch on his way back to the queen. And as a result of that, the eunuch was able to share the gospel in Africa. And you realize today, as a result, and I really believe it has some direct result and some direct bearing, that they are over 50,000 people a day coming to Christ in Africa. Over 50,000 people coming to Christ in Africa every single day. That Samaritan church had an impact on the rest of the world. If it was not for what happened at Samaria, we wouldn't have any Antioch. You see, the churches in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria had an impact on the rest of the world. And if they had not, we wouldn't be here today. From what I can understand from the statisticians and for all the other people, that early church almost fulfilled the Great Commission. More than any other church of any other era, of any other age, almost fulfilled the Great Commission. You see, the Great Commission says, go to the ends of the earth, making disciples. That church and those churches that God placed impacted the world. Now, if God did that with 12 men and then the others that God brought, what could he do with this body that's gathered here this morning? What could he do with us? If the early disciples were known to turn the world upside down, couldn't we turn our world upside down as well? The Jerusalem church turned their world upside down. Wouldn't it be great that a group of people came together at the Orchard Church and put Christ first? As a result of the ministry and a result of what happened through them, they turned Grand Traverse County, Northwest Michigan, and our world upside down. People need to hear Jesus. People in our world where we live, over three-quarters of them have no relationship with Jesus whatsoever. Right here. And yes, we have some large churches. We have some good churches. But we are not impacting our culture. When I moved to Michigan a few years ago, there was about 7.5 million people who had yet put their faith in Jesus Christ. Today, that's over 8 million. Let's look at the Orchard Church. The Orchard, are you ready to be a world mission center? Are you ready today to be a world mission center? It's a defining moment. It's a defining moment in the life of this church. There comes times in our life when there are defining moments. If we're going to come together, and God has done some neat things in the last few weeks, but we're going to come together and say, all right, here we are. We're going to be on mission with him. A passage of scripture in Joel chapter 3, it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are a lot of people out there that's still undecided. There's a lot of people out there that are at a point of decision. Multitudes are out there. They're waiting. They're waiting to hear. They're waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The people in our area are waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You say, well, everybody in our area has heard the gospel message. Don't think so. I don't think so. Even though we have all the churches in our area, even though we have the media and the Christian radio stations and Christian television, I want you to know that there's people still in our area that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never heard the message. I came from the Bible Belt, the northern part of the Bible Belt, and I've been a part of it even in the buckle of the Bible Belt before, and been there. I mean, right in the heart of it. And I remember going and sharing the gospel with a person one day, and they told me that's the first time anybody has ever shared with me about Jesus Christ. And that was in the midst of the Bible Belt. And I want you to know, in the last few years being here in northern Michigan, I've had the same experience of people telling me, I've never heard the message before. We may think that everybody knows, but they don't. There's multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. I'm not going to put a date or a time of when he's coming back, but I believe that my Jesus is coming back. Again, we observed the Lord's Supper a couple weeks ago, and when we observe the Lord's Supper, it says, do this in remembrance of me until I come. He's coming. Don't know when, but he's coming. It is a challenge to go where we've never gone before. Are you ready to be an on-mission center? It's a challenge to go where we've never gone before, and that requires a huge step of faith. To be able to go where we've never gone before takes a step of faith. You know, after you do something, sometimes it becomes familiar with you, right? But that first time of doing something is challenging. Some of you, it's for the first time that you came to this church. It was a challenge. It was a step of faith. When you came here, moving from where you were to where you are now was a step of faith. But once you make that first step, it is not near so bad. God wants us to take a step of faith. His challenge is for us to go where we've never gone before. His challenge for us is to go where we've never gone before. You know, and the next one here I think is really important as well. Readiness means we are in a deep, real love relationship with Jesus Christ and those he has brought into the body. As we take this step of faith and go where we've never gone before, we go as a body. We go as a body. It's not about my mission. It's about God doing his mission. It's about being on mission with him where we are. And last night, In our services, Mike and Sandy were sitting right over here, and Mike and Sandy Seidelman, they go in the summertime and to a campground up in Benzie area, and they spend most of their summer up there. Guess what's the fastest growing area of northern Michigan is? The fastest growing county in northern Michigan is Benzonia and in Benzie County. And so evidently, maybe God is placing them on an area where we have a tremendous need for them to be a missionary. And then we had over here Marv and Linda Emery. Marv and Linda go up to St. Ignace and camp up there a lot during the summertime. Could it be we have no Southern Baptist Church and we have very little work there in the St. Ignace area? Could it be that God is planting these people and scattering the orchard people out so that they could be on mission with him wherever they are? Wouldn't it be great to commission them when they get ready to go camping this summer and say, hey, you need to be a missionary in St. Ignace. You need to be a missionary in Benzonia, in Beulah, excuse me, in Beulah, Benzonia, wherever they're at over there, to send people out on mission from within the body to commission them and to celebrate what God is doing in their life. You see, the body coming together in a love relationship with one another. And the next thing here is be prepared. When you begin to send people out on mission, the enemy is going to attack. The enemy is going to attack. To be ready, we must be ready for the enemy's attack because it's going to come. My Ephesians is falling out of my Bible. The enemy is going to attack you. When you begin to take some of his turf, he doesn't like that. And again, I mentioned it early on. Isn't it amazing that the most difficult days of the Orchard Church was when you got ready to send a mission team to Alaska and when you got ready to send a mission team to Africa? The most difficult days. The enemy hates it when you are on mission with God. He literally hates that. When you are on mission with God, he doesn't want to see young people go on a World Changers event. He doesn't want to see the Orchard Church go down to Grand Rapids and help Francis. He doesn't want to see anybody taken out of his kingdom. That's the devil's kingdom here. And so he'll fight you and he'll attack you any way that he can. And I believe that the devil's tried to attack our body in the last few weeks. I believe he's tried to attack the body physically. If you look at the people who've been ill and who have difficulties in the last few weeks, I believe that the enemy's been attacking. But I'm here to report to you that Jesus has superseded his attack. You know, even Luke, in the last few weeks, struggling really bad with the neck. Pray for him, that God would give him victory in those areas of his life. Well, as I think about what God wants to do, as I begin to focus on what God wants to do, I believe he wants to do something far beyond. He said he wants to do something far above what we ask or what we think or what we imagine. And that reminds me of the song, I Can Only Imagine.
Why don't you stand and let's sing that song together. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? But to my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Yeah, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Only imagine. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine what God wants to do through this body. You can be seated. I can only imagine what God wants to do through you and how He wants to impact our world through you. Every person at the Orchard Church is a mission in action. Every person at the Orchard Church is a mission in action. If God's placed you within this body, and if God has placed you here today, I believe that God wants you to count where you are. You're made to count where you are. God has placed you where you are, not by accident, but God has placed you there to make an impact in the kingdom of God. You are a mission. As God fashions our body, as God puts our body together, you are made to count where you are. If God places you like He places Steve in a classroom setting, you're made to count there in the classroom setting. If God has placed you where He's placed Judy at the Shepherd of Hope Clinic, God has placed her there to be made to count where she is. Wherever God has placed you, whatever God has given you in your life, you are to be made to count where you are. You are a mission in action. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're a mission in action. Every person must believe that God, with God, all things are possible. Every person must believe that with God, all things are possible. I don't know about you, but I believe that. That was one of the things that gripped me back in the 1980s when God had called me to preach. And I want you to know, I never had any envision of what God was going to do in my life or through my life. All I knew is I wanted to be obedient to Him. And I went up and took a class one time on church growth from a seminary extension. And when I took that class, and it was a little bitty old book, and there was a phrase in that book that I've never gotten over. And that book, and that phrase in that book, it says, every church can grow, and every church should grow. And I believe that. I believe that there's not a church that God doesn't want to impact and grow those people. I believe that all things are possible. There was a church out in Montana, and I mean, this church was in Montana, and there's some places in Montana that you have to drive a long ways just to get anywhere. You know what I mean? And it wasn't Missoula, where Pastor Rich is at, or it wasn't Billings or Stevensville or some of those other places out there that is rapidly growing in Montana. But this town, they had to drive about 35 miles to buy a gallon of gas or a gallon of milk. I mean, that's not a place. I mean, I like being out in the country. That's a little far out for me, okay? I mean, I live in Meesick, and that's kind of out there. But, I mean, this church was, and this little village was way out in the middle of nowhere. And they was listening to a missions pastor one time and a missions speaker about being a world missions church. And one of the members of that church began to believe that God wanted that church to have a world-impacting church. They're 35 miles from a place you can buy a gallon of milk. I mean, it was way out there. But yet, this one guy kept saying, I believe that God wants our church to be a world-impacting church. And so he goes and tells his pastor. He said, Pastor, I really believe that God wants us to be a world-impacting church. And so the pastor says, well, yeah, we can pray for missions, and we support the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and we support the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and through that we can have a world-impacting church. He said, no, sir, that's not what God's told me. He said, I believe that this church right here, God wants to be a world mission center. Now, what's the odds of a church in the middle of Montana who is 35 miles from a place you could buy a gallon of gas of being a world-impacting church? Well, as this guy kept talking, he got some other people to begin to believe with him, and they began to pray, God, show us what you're doing. As we experience God together, show us, God, what you're doing, and show us how we can be a world-impacting church. And they kept praying at it, and so finally the pastor said, I either had to go along with it or quit. I either had to go along with what these guys were doing or quit. He said, I want you to know I really did not believe what was going to happen. But one day there was a bicycler came through town. And there was not much of a town, okay, because there was no convenience store. And there was no place for this guy to get anything to drink. There was no place for this guy to sleep. There was just not anything there. And so he went to the church. And the church put him up for the night. They, being a rural church, they fed this guy a good home-cooked meal and took care of him. They put him up in the church building, and they really ministered to this guy, gave him a copy of the Mark New Testament. And the guy said, well, do you think that anybody else coming through this area could stop at your church? And they said, yeah, we'd be glad to have anybody to stop at our church. They didn't realize that their church was en route of one of the major national bike trails that people all over the world go down. And so in the next few years, this church ministered to people from many, many continents and many, many countries. And they had it set up that when the bikers would come through, it was on the trail. And the guy who first was there on the rest of his bike trail every evening picked up and he read that Mark New Testament. And as a result of him coming to know Christ, and was a result of that church. This guy was the editor of the largest biking magazine in the world. And they went back to the church and said, can we do an article on your church? Folks, I want you to know when people believe that God is able to do anything, anything happens. And everything happens. What could God do through you? Every person must teach and help others believe. Every person must teach and help others believe. Who are you helping right now? Who are you helping through the process? in my Ephesians is falling out of my Bible. I've underlined some things. Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. I want to ask you a question. What are you asking God for? What are you asking God for today? What have you been asking God for lately? Is it God's size or your size? What's God want to do with you? Every person must count the cost. Every person must count the cost. It's costly to go to the ends of the earth. It's costly to pick up roots and go to another part of our country. I remember when I picked up roots to come up here, there was a young man in my church who had just gotten married, and he said, "Well, why in the world are you buying property up there and building a house? What if it doesn't work out?" I said, "That's really not an option if it doesn't work out, because that's where God called me. It's really not an option. That's where God called me." You got to count the cost. You know, count the cost is much more than just financial. Sometimes when you leave and you go some other place around the world, you have to leave family behind that you don't get to see as often as you once did. When you count the cost, you count the cost in many other ways. Many other ways you count the cost other than just financially. But what about counting the cost to doing it locally? What's it going to cost you to be obedient and be on mission with God where you are? Is it going to cost you some of your pride? Is it going to cost you some of the things that maybe you need to give up in your life? Maybe some of the areas in your life that you've been holding on to, that you've been, and it's keeping you from being on mission with God? Would you be willing to surrender those areas of your life? Count the cost. And I want to say to you, there is no shortcuts to complete obedience. There are no shortcuts to complete obedience. That's what God wants from this body. We're experiencing God together. He wants us to be completely obedient with Him. And when Paul wrote this passage of Scripture, to Him be glory in the church. When Paul, I believe that if you've been watching Paul write this, there was a countless change that took place. And to him who is able to do above all that you could ask or imagine, according to the power that's in you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He just burst out into praise. To him be glory in the church. Every person on mission will glorify Christ, will glorify our God. To him be glory in the church. That's what it's all about, folks. When you are on mission with him, you are going to glorify Christ. And when you are not on mission with him, you won't. I didn't say every person glorifies Christ. Every person living on mission will glorify Christ. When you're living out the mission that God has placed in you, you are going to glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you again, what have you been asking God for? And are you glorifying my Jesus? Are you glorifying Jesus Christ? And you do that by living out your mission. By living out the mission God has placed you in right now. The Orchard, a world mission center.